This is Morning Edition on NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley. Well, Democrats won every federal race on the New Hampshire ballot last week. Republicans were the big winners on the state level. That includes gaining some new majorities in the State House of Representatives, State Senate, and the Executive Council. And that's led to some soul-searching and finger-pointing within the state Democratic Party in recent days about what went wrong and how to address it looking forward. NHPR's senior political reporter Josh Rogers has been talking with Democrats about this and joins us now. Hey, Josh.
Good morning, Rick.
So remind us where things stand in the State House after last week.
Well, we can start with the Executive Council. Heading into Election Day, Democrats held a 3-2 majority, which over the last year has really been important for them in terms of checking Governor Chris Sununu, limiting his ability to appoint top state officials, and also limiting his administration when it came to handing out state contracts and spending, you know, what is literally billions of state dollars. But now the council, barring changes from any recounts, looks like it's going to be a 4-1 Republican majority. If you want to move to the state Senate, that was 14-10 Democratic majority. It's flipped to a 14-10 Republican majority. And, you know, some of these races are undergoing recounts, but it's not an exaggeration to say that a 4-seat Republican cushion gives Sununu significant muscle when it comes to getting his way on policy. The same thing goes in the New Hampshire House, where what had been a Democratic majority will soon be a 25-seat Republican edge. And, you know, all these changes do make it likely that if Republicans can remain united, and that is a big if, but if that's the case, Democrats will largely be on the sidelines when it comes to decision-making in Concord over the next 2 years.
And we've been watching those numbers come into focus at the end of last week as the votes continue to be counted. And you've been asking folks from both parties, you know, what happened? Why the Democratic success at the top of the ballot and then such a dramatic reversal in the state level races? And what have you been hearing?
Well, it certainly depends on who you're talking to. But I do think one thing that's important to bear in mind is that in a high turnout election like the one we saw last week, current district maps in New Hampshire, which were drawn by Republicans a decade ago, do favor Republicans. That's perhaps most dramatic in the state Senate and on the Executive Council. And, you know, some of the seats in the Senate that the Democrats won 2 years ago when turnout overall was lower, and certainly Republican turnout was lower and Democratic enthusiasm was higher, were reclaimed by Republicans this year in a universally high turnout situation. I mean, we can look at one seat in particular, District 23. 2 years ago, John Morgan, a Democratic newcomer, beat incumbent Republican Bill Gannon. And, you know, as you remember, anger among Democrats over President Trump was quite high. That district includes one relatively large block of potential Democratic votes, Exeter, which turned out big 2 years ago. And, you know, turnout in some of the outlying Republican-leaning towns in the district was a lot more slack. That wasn't the case this year. Both parties did get their base out to the polls, and Gannon won back his seat, you know, and you can see similar dynamics at work in a handful of other districts in the state Senate, and that helped flip the Senate back to Republican control.
Is it just gerrymandered legislative districts, Josh, or are progressives seeing, you know, a bigger failure here?
Well, there were certainly tactical differences between Democrats and Republicans this year. Republicans really tried to maintain traditional face-to-face campaigning throughout the COVID pandemic. They knocked on doors. They held public events. They, you know, dropped off campaign flyers, you know, by hand and so on. Democrats really decided to rein that in consciously. They skipped a lot of in-person campaigning. I've been told that local candidates were essentially told by the state party with the backing of the Biden campaign, and there is a guidance document on this, to avoid in-person campaigning. That was certainly due to public health concerns around the pandemic. And, you know, also, you know, there's a performative aspect of this too. Democrats wanted to be seen as following public health guidance to try to draw a contrast with what Democrats saw as reckless campaign behavior of President Trump with the huge outdoor rallies and of Republicans in general. And, you know, it seems that strategy could have worked fine for Joe Biden or Jeanne Shaheen, Democrats who, you know, had no need to introduce themselves to voters in New Hampshire, who have money to go on TV to buy Facebook ads. But say you're a first-term state senator or, you know, somebody running for state rep and largely anonymous to many people in your district, then, you know, campaigning on the phone or on Zoom is not going to help you make an impression, particularly among voters not already predisposed to back Democrats. I've, you know, heard variants of this from numerous people in the past few days that, you know, they're thinking is that Democrats did kind of hamstring themselves by discouraging down ballot candidates from hitting the streets and meeting directly voters. And, you know, there's some messaging questions too, where did the Democrats have a significantly progressive message once you got beyond, you know, we must defeat Donald Trump, which was clearly a potent message.
Yeah. So the well-known candidates seemed to do well this year. The candidate who did best was Republican Governor Chris Sununu. Can we give him credit for, you know, lifting his fellow Republicans in those lesser-known races?
I mean, it's hard to quantify exactly how much credit Governor Sununu deserves, but he is popular. I mean, he received an immense amount of votes last week, and the governor certainly did do a lot of campaigning in the flesh and, you know, via digital means with Facebook ads and that sort of thing to really work to lift lesser-known Republicans to victory. And, you know, it's also true that Republicans in general did a better job this year in raising money for down-ballot races. I'm thinking particularly in the House and, you know, a lot of recent elections, Democrats have often had a big financial edge in these more low-end races due to more aggressive state party fundraising. And this year, House Republican leaders did try to blunt that advantage. And, you know, they paired that with messaging, you know, accurate or not, that sought to portray all Democrats running for seats in Concord as basically income tax advocates. And, you know, that may have had an effect. Hard to say how much, but it's certainly something that I've heard from people on both sides of the aisle. You know, the flip side of that is there are Democrats who have told me that the Democratic Party messaging was insufficiently aggressive from the top, that, you know, rather than just being, we need to get Donald Trump out of the White House, there wasn't a lot for voters to grab onto, to get excited. It was essentially stop Trump, stop Sununu. And, you know, that the governor proved to be popular across the boards, and, you know, that message didn't translate down to Democratic gains at the bottom of the ballot.
So where does that leave the New Hampshire Democratic Party? Is this going to be, you know, that the year of real soul searching, or what do you think is going to happen now?
Well, you know, certainly there are progressive elements within the Democratic Party's coalition that certainly hope it will be. People who feel that there needs to be more diversity among candidates and party leaders and in the policy priorities. And, you know, young people, some of them told me they felt shut out from decision making when it comes to the party's platform and candidate grooming, that sort of thing. I mean, Ray Buckley's been chairman of the party for a long time, and he does seem to get this. He's promised what he's termed an autopsy of last week's results and a plan on how to respond. But, you know, the entire federal delegation and Joe Biden did win New Hampshire by decent margins. That's no small thing. And, you know, Ray Buckley himself remains plenty respected and, you know, also feared within his party. I'm not aware of any candidate actively seeking to challenge him at this point. And, you know, you really don't get the sense, at least now, that the local Democratic donor class sees any need for the party to make a hard pivot. But, you know, it's also true in this political moment, you know, party leaders maybe need to be careful about being too cavalier when progressive, younger, you know, more diverse Democrats seek change. You know, being too cavalier could be risky. We've seen that dynamic play out across the country over the past few years. It hasn't come to Democratic politics in New Hampshire, at least not yet. But, you know, there are some party activists who think that may be due. And, you know, last week's state house results, the down ballot results in particular, you know, could spur it.
And NHPR's Josh Rogers. Josh, thanks.
You're welcome.
It's Morning Edition from NHPR.